Comments I want to make. First of all, you are either unfortunate or fortunate, depending on how you look at it. When I pulled in the parking lot at 20 minutes till 8 this morning, it was solid ice. And you could slip and slide all over the place. And we had some guys that got out and did some salting and some work. And so when you came, it was a much better circumstance, at least from the point of not sliding if you didn't want to slide. Secondly, I would encourage all of us to continue to take this COVID virus seriously. I've had it recently, and I do not recommend it. I'm hoping that we will all be thoughtful about each other and that we will do a good job of thinking in terms of trying to help stay healthy ourselves and help every one of us stay healthy. This morning, I want to share with you some things that our elders, our worship committee, we put together. And the message this morning was designed by the worship committee. And I want us to think about our theme for this whole year and maybe beyond, sharing life. And you have to decide, as you think about life, how much you're willing to share life with other people. This message from the book of Galatians has a lot to say about sharing life. And I'm telling you that if you are really willing to share life the way this passage teaches us, you are going to begin to change lives. You're going to change lives of people around about you. You're going to change your own life if you become involved in the way that the Apostle Paul, through God's inspiration, shares with us to do things. When we start thinking about bearing one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ, what all does that mean? Well, there are a few points from these passages that Josh read for us just a few minutes ago that I want to encourage you to think about today. As you think about you, don't think about what Roy Sharp should be doing or one of our elders should be doing or somebody else should be doing. Think about what you should be doing about sharing your life so that you can help change the lives of other people and lift burdens off of those other people. When I graduated from high school, the Vietnam War was crazy. I had several buddies who went from high school to basic training to a battlefield in Vietnam. Some of them were killed. Some of them were wounded physically. I remember one of my very closest friends that I went to church with and to high school with who came back mentally impaired because of the stress and the trauma of war. I've seen movies. That's the closest I've gotten to a battlefield in that regard. If you go down to Shiloh and you watch that Battle of Shiloh movie, and you see bodies just laying all over the place, hanging over fences, I cannot imagine being in that, can you? There may be somebody in this room that's experienced war in that sense. I never did. I have a brother that was in the Air Force, and he flew in a bomber, and he did 60-something missions over Vietnam. I was talking to him one day about that. And I was describing how utterly unbelievable it would be to be on that battlefield and watch your buddies be shot down or blown up with a bomb or a grenade or some kind of weapon. He said, you know, I never saw that. He said, I would be at a pretty comfortable airbase. I would get a call to do a mission, and I would get in that F-4, and I would take off. And he said, we would fly missions 50 feet off the ground, 500 miles an hour, we would push a button and drop a bomb, and we could see some of what we were doing, but we couldn't see actually what was happening on the ground. I said, surely you saw some things. He said, yes, twice. I could look out the cockpit window, and to the left one time, one of my close buddies was flying a mission with me, and he got hit. And his plane exploded. Never saw him again. I can't imagine what that's like. But I want you to, for a minute, think of what our spiritual world looks like. If we could see everybody in this room and everybody that's online listening this morning, and we saw the spiritual condition of the souls of everybody, there would be spiritual bodies laying perhaps in this auditorium, perhaps in the homes of people who are watching online. And as we back out of this parking lot and we go out this road, we would see spiritual bodies that have been wounded. They've been wounded and hurt, and some of them blown apart by drugs, by sexual infidelity, by relational issues within families. There are so many ways that we would see spiritual bodies just laying all over the place. Now God is talking to you and me through the Apostle Paul. If you can imagine what the spiritual world would look like with you being a faithful child of God, spiritually healthy, and you see all of these injured and wounded people spiritually all around you, what are you doing about it? Verse 1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression. Now you think about that. Anyone, not just my buddies, not just the people I care about, not just my family, but if anyone is caught in any kind of sin, it's awfully, awfully easy for us who live in our nice houses, who work in our nice offices, who have nice clothes to wear, nice cars to drive. It's easy for us to think of ourselves as hard-working, good people, and we look out there and there's some lazy bum living under a bridge. We don't know why. But it's awfully easy for us to think of good. I'm good. Bad. They're bad. I don't want to have anything to do with that kind of person. I don't want to be around somebody that looks like that, that dresses like that, that talks like that, that acts like that. I'm going to let that spiritual battlefield just continue to be filled with people, and I'm going to do nothing about it because I don't want to be involved with people like that. Look again. If anyone is caught in a transgression, any sin, not just the worst that you think might be bad, but if you're spiritual, if you are whole, God is longing for you to reach out and to help those people and to restore and rescue that person and do so in a spirit of gentleness. You can't grab somebody and slam them into the baptistry. You can't grab an erring child of God and slam them back into the body of Christ. But you as a spiritually whole person can gently lead and help give them an opportunity to be restored. And so you need to be thinking. Second thing Paul says here is be a burden bearer. I am so grateful, and Sean mentioned it in his comments, this is a burden bearing congregation. We don't know all the people who have been hurt by all of this bad weather, but we know some people have. And so our elders decide to give. And they give you an opportunity to go beyond what you put in a plate or give online or go to the office and give. They give you an opportunity to be involved in helping bear those burdens. We've been blessed in Chester County, Henderson, Tennessee. So far as I know, we had no power outages. We had no real problems except for some slick roads. We've been blessed unthinkably, but there are others who have burdens to bear that you and I escaped. We can help in some way. When you bear one another's burdens, you fulfill the law of Christ. And that law of Christ, really, as you read the New Testament, is to love each other. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Even if it's somebody that would be as socially unacceptable as that Samaritan that we read the story about in Luke's account of the Good Samaritan. Somebody that nobody wants to deal with because he's not racially pure. He's not spiritually pure. He's injured, and it's going to get me dirty. It's going to cost me time, and it may cost me money, and we don't want to be involved. But God wants us to help bear one another's burdens, and in so doing, fulfill the law. If you're going to do those first two things, you're only going to do them if you appropriately reflect on yourself. That's hard to do. That is hard to do. I remember my oldest living brother's wife. She used to call me the meanest kid she ever met. And I think I've told you before, I asked her one time, "What do you call mean?" She didn't say, "Look, man, you were out drinking, your language was horrible, you were doing all kinds of sinful things." She said, "You irritated everybody. You were banging and beating drums on the table, and you'd take your knife and fork and you'd beat drums while we were waiting to eat. You were so irritated." That's what she called me. I was guilty. I was mean. And I smiled as she was telling that because, you see, what it made her think is I was not quite as bad as she was trying to tell people. Made me feel good. But the reality is, all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. So if I look back on that and her telling me that's what she intends to say about me being mean, and then swell up with pride over it, I need to go back and read this verse. Because, you see, it's awfully easy for me to be easy on myself and very hard on you. If anyone, that includes Roy, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If I begin to see myself as better than you, guess what? I am entering into this spiritual world of thinking that I'm something, and God is trying to help me see I am really nothing. We sing a song sometimes, "Without Him, I would be nothing." And every time I try to stand on my own two feet alone, without help from God, I am nothing. So we need appropriate self-reflection. If I'm not careful, it might be easier for me to think I'm more important than you are, because guess what? I get to stand in front of all of you and tell you what I understand the Bible says. There might be a person in this room who does very little more than come to this building to worship in terms of service to God and to other people and burden bearing. You see, it might be easy for me to say, "Oh, yeah, look at me, and then look at that person, and you'll see how good I am." You see, I've entered this spiritual world of thinking that I am something when I am absolutely nothing. And so we need appropriate self-reflection. If we're going to share our lives with other people, it's not about me being so good and you being so bad. I'm willing to come into your life and lift you up. It's about me wanting to help restore spiritually wounded people back to spiritual health, and to help people who've had some catastrophic event occur in their life, to give them some courage, to give them some faith. And so we need appropriate self-reflection. And if you really look at yourself, you're going to see that there is some self-testing to do and the right kind of pride. I want you to listen to verse 4 again. I chose the NIV passage here just because of the way it states this message. Each one should test their own actions. Right now, I'm asking everybody in this room, that is accountable to God to test your behavior with regard to being a burden bearer, of restoring spiritually wounded people, of helping and giving support to people that have had some event that's negative in their life. By sharing what you have with people who have less, I am asking you to test your own actions. And you see, I've seen many of you in this room do great things. One of the things that we do is we offer a meal, generally, to families following a funeral of one of their loved ones. I don't know exactly how that works, who does all the serving, but you know what? I go to a lot of those, and I see the same women there. I see the same women serving and working and cleaning up and washing dishes and doing things. The same ones over and over and over again. You see, if we're going to be burden bearers, something like that ought to have a list so long in a congregation this large that somebody only does that about one time every 2 years. But we see the same people over and over and over again. And so what we want to think about is testing our own actions. And when we do, what a great blessing it is to take pride in doing good. Happy is the man who does good, the Bible teaches us. It's good to feel good about doing good. That's a right thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you look at your life and you've taken a test about what you are doing to bear the burdens of other people and how you are helping these spiritually injured and wounded people, you just think, young folks, you go to high school, if you took a real look at the spiritual world that you are walking in, you're going to see a lot of people injured and wounded. And those of you that go to work, you're going to see lots of people wounded, hurting. And when we test ourselves and we see what we're doing and it's good, it's a good thing. But there's a caution here. Don't compare what you are doing good to what someone else is doing good unless you're willing to compare yourself to the Christ. It's no good to compare yourself with me because you're going to fail. Don't compare yourself to anybody. You do the good that God says. You check out how you can help the spiritually wounded, how you can help give in ways that you can to bear the burdens of other people. You think about yourself appropriately and you take this test without comparing yourself to another human being. And when you do, you're going to do good. This is what I think of as a concluding thought. It was the next verse that we didn't read a while ago. But I want you to think about it. Each one should carry their own load. You can't hire Bill Wade or Billy Smith to carry your load. You've got to carry your own load. I can't call the deacons and say, look, you guys, you're supposed to be working. I can't expect them to carry my own load. And I cannot call the elders and say, look, this is your job. You get out there and do that. I and you must carry our own load. And when we do that, we'll be blessed. I want to close with these words from a writer named Gene Getz. In a book entitled Building One Another Up. He said, if you're feeling low and worthless, there seems nothing you can do. Just take courage and remember, there's someone needing you. You were created for a purpose, for a part in God's plan. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill Christ's law to man. Are you a father? Are you a son or a daughter? You've a work no one else can do. Are you a husband? a wife, a mother. There's someone needing you. If perhaps in bed you're lying, you can smile and press the hand of the one who tells his story. He'll know you understand. There are many sad and lonely and discouraged, not a few who a little cheer are needing, and there's someone needing you. Someone needs your faith. Someone needs your courage. Someone needs your love. Someone needs your prayer. Someone needs your inspiration, thus to help their cross to bear. Do not think your work is ended. There is much that you can do. As long as you are on this earth, there's someone needing you. I want us all to reflect on what kind of burden bearer we are. And it may be that you're in this room today and you are in need of some help bearing the burden that you have. It is God's will and His desire for you to unload that on Him and unload that on His body, the church. And so if you're not a Christian, and you know you should be, take the burden of sin off of you, lay it on the Christ. Confess your sins. Be buried with Christ in baptism so that you can be raised clean, new, and walk in a different kind of life as a child of God. If you're a child of God and the world has just pulled you back into it, and your relationships aren't what they need to be, starting with your relationship with God, and then your relationship with your family and your friends and the church, turn that around. Turn those burdens over to the Lord and to His body. And so we plead with you, don't leave with a burden that the Lord is so hoping to lift from you today. And those of us who love you here are hoping to help lift that burden if you have a need. Would you stand? Let us sing and come if you need.